Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us this morning is Amalusi Nkala, who is a researcher at Corruption Watch, also the author of the report, What Sort of Power Do Municipalities Have? A very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. It must have been quite depressing research, this.
Good morning, and thank you for having us. Yes, social justice work can never be
uplifting, I suppose, easy, yeah.
But with that said, it's work that needs to be done. And these are the people's voices. These are ordinary South Africans, members of the public who have come to Corruption Watch between 2012 and the end of 2020 and who have highlighted corruption that's happening at the local level of government.
And what did the report, or what did it find?
The sample that we're looking at here, it's a sample. It's 16% of 33,000 reports of corruption that we as an organization received during the period.
Mm-hmm.
And what was most notable is that the office of the municipal municipal manager accounts for 34% of the reports that were received. Local police or metro police account for 30%, and the local housing departments count for about 10%. And then in all these areas, what we found is that there are issues of bribery, procurement, and employment irregularities, as well as embezzlement of funds.
Was there a trend? In other words, were you seeing the same types of corruption methodologies, or did you not look into it from that perspective?
We looked at patterns and just trends of what was being reported by whistleblowers.
Right.
And, it's issues of officials, politicians, and administrators flouting processes and in some instances receiving kickbacks just to allow companies to continuously get tenders within municipalities. In some areas, what we found was that there would be these cartel-like structures. It's a similar concept to what we see in national politics in terms of state capture, but now it's at a local level where you have the same company or companies for a period of 10 to 20 years receiving contracts with the municipality. However, infrastructure development is not happening. Maintenance of infrastructure is not occurring. People are still not receiving basic service delivery, water, sanitation, electricity, and housing.
When you look at the numbers on the list and you look at the terrible level of corruption, we see that the city of Johannesburg has 700 reports, followed by Kurileni with 354, city of Tshwane 325. These reports, do we expect Johannesburg, because of the size of the municipality, have a much greater number of reports? How does this work? How do you manage that in order to get a real sense of how bad it is?
This is not a report to quantify corruption. That in itself is a very difficult science. What we're doing here is just echoing and relating the experiences witnessed by community members, but also some evidence given by whistleblowers about acts of corruption. So if we talk about corruption, if we talk about whistleblower accounts from Johannesburg and it's 700 that we have received, think about it in this way. I would encourage listeners to think about it this way. When a person comes to Corruption Watch and says, we have received the allegations of procurement corruption, just know that it doesn't necessarily affect that person alone. It may affect an entire community. So it's a whole host
Okay. I think that's an important qualification, because it's just the actual report. So that could be massive, or it could be fairly small.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Right. I'm with you. And how does this compare year on year? Is the trend moving in the right direction, wrong direction?
Again, here, what we realized is that provinces such as Free State, Eastern Cape and Western Cape, and I think KwaZulu-Natal. There was a 50% increase from 2019 to 2020. And also 2020 was the year in which we received the highest number of reports in relation to this particular sector, almost 900 reports of corruption. But it's quite disturbing. Why? Because this is when this is the height of the global pandemic, COVID-19. And to know that officials didn't even stop to think for a moment to say that, you know what, it's really high time that we serve the interests of the people. But they just continued. It was business as usual.
Where does it go from here? I mean, now that you know that, let's say, there's 700 cases or reports of cases, do you then, does this then go to the municipalities for them to look into? What are the next steps in this regard?
I mean, for us as an organization, it's to participate in anti-corruption structures. There's one that is being established, the local government anti-corruption structure, where it will involve civil society, law enforcement, and the private sector. So hopefully we can advocate for clean governance in those in that structure, but also just to encourage law enforcement to do something about some of these instances. So things need to happen on a systemic level, but also on a more individual, well, or more on a practical level would be to investigate some of these bigger cases and to see how do we actually recuperate some of the lost monies and also hold people accountable, because that's what people want, accountability. But in terms of ordinary people, I would encourage people to continue to blow the whistle on corruption. It helps and assists us to actually lobby and compel government and those who are in power to actually do something about it. But also identify amongst yourselves as communities, as we head into elections, people with integrity, people that are ethical, people with a social conscience. Don't just willy-nilly think to yourself that a politician is going to be the person that's going to bring about their change. That change happens at community level and happens with you, with how you vote.
Yeah, absolutely right. An incredibly important work that you are doing. Keep doing it and just keep fighting this fight. And that is Melusi Nkala, who is a researcher at Corruption Watch, also the author of the report, What Sort of Power Do Municipalities Have?